All right, welcome. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam, and it's Tuesday night here in Sydney, Australia, the 11th of February already, 2020, so time is definitely flying by. Everything's up on my website, of course, crassfiles.com, so plenty going up there, so much, and everything's interconnected now with that website, so YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, Gab, whatever it is, you can usually find me over there, and you can contact me also through the website. Please comment to all the articles and podcasts and things going up, because they get displayed for the public as well, and thanks so much for the members, for your support. You really help me continue here and keep this website up and running, and if you're out there in the world and you hear some of these podcasts and you like the material and the guests and all the information that we're covering, you can log on to crassfiles.com and become a member over there, and it helps me to continue greatly, so support is much appreciated. Tonight we're sailing into uncharted territory, uncharted waters for sure. So I've got a great guest with me tonight, and we're going to look at China. Now we've got so much happening in China at the moment. It's really bamboozling with the whole virus thing. So it's everyone's talking about it. We're going to cover a different subject here, something that I haven't actually looked at much myself before, but looking at it just in the week, my guest was nice enough to send me all these links and YouTube videos looking at this subject we're going to cover tonight, and not many people are talking about this, and it's really blown my mind. This is something that I've looked into before doing this podcast, and I think I've posted articles and things, not something I've done a podcast in depth with, including this material. So it's pretty incredible. Mitchell, you should be plugged in with me now. You there, buddy?
Yes, I am, Adam.
I'm going to just turn myself down a little bit here, if you don't mind. All good, I got you there. Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, we linked up on Skype about a week ago, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, and you've been sending through some pretty incredible material that's kind of caught me off guard. So I've been rushing through and having a look at all this material, and this very, very much interests me. I haven't had you on this podcast before, so we've just basically connected right now, sat down, you're in the chair, and we're ready to go. Why don't we just, we don't want to bamboozle people too much, so what we'll do is we'll just get to know you a little bit, where you're from, where you are, who you are, and then lead us into what's happening over there in China in regards to this organ harvesting. It's a disturbing subject, man, and congratulations. I know you're over there on InfoWars, and you've been doing the circuits and talking to many people and connecting with great alternative media outlets. That's fantastic to see. But tell us a bit about yourself, and then we'll move into this very disturbing and dark subject coming out of China there.
Well, I appreciate, Adam, for having me on your show. Not many people have the courage or the balls to have me on their show, because they are petrified about what I am going to unleash to you and your listening audience about this new form of evil that has been occurring in China for the last 20 years. And now with this coronavirus, basically a bioweapon that has been unleashed into the general public in China. And we can get into that a little bit later. Yet, I'm originally South African born and American raised. I moved to America when I was 15 and studied international business, international politics, and was very moved by this subject that I'm about to unveil to you in terms of forced organ harvesting. And before I actually knew about this forced live organ harvesting, where hundreds and thousands of innocent people, particularly of a spiritual movement, of a spiritual sort of practice, have been sent to state-mandated hospitals, and their organs cut out of their bodies while alive, and then the bodies are burned in the ovens and the crematories of the hospitals, and then the organs sold on a massive multi-billion dollar organ harvesting business platform. The practice that I came into contact with that was highly targeted and for elimination and organ extraction in China for the last 20 years at the hands of the Chinese Communist Party is called Falun Gong. And Adam, I came to learn Falun Gong, this ancient Chinese spiritual discipline, which is rooted in Buddhist tradition or Taoist tradition on the West, in the East. And is now practiced in the West in over 100 different countries. It's pronounced Falun Gong, and it consists of moral teachings and meditation, very similar to Chinese yoga, Chinese Tai Chi, and it incorporates also four gentle exercises that are truly unique and highly effective in the ways to improve your health and energy levels. This particular spiritual movement, introduced to the by the founder of Falun Gong, Mr. Li Hongzhi, who was a five-time nominee of the Nobel Peace Prize and winner of the Freedom Award from the European Parliament, and many other awards over the last 20 years for his contribution in health and wellness and longevity and spiritual vitality, not only in China but around the world. When he introduced this practice into the general public of China, namely Falun Gong, one out of every 12 Chinese national citizens were practicing and started to practice. That was about 100 million people, 10% of the population growing annually. The Chinese government couldn't believe how fast this practice was growing, just like wildfire. And it became the life force of China. Millions of dollars in healthcare costs were reducing, the morality rate was going up, the mortality rate was going down, people were living longer, all sorts of ailments, illnesses were being removed and disappearing, from tuberculosis to hepatitis to leukemia to Bavarian cancer to MS to sports injuries that have caused people to be in wheelchairs for 15 years. People were just walking out of their wheelchairs. So the Chinese government did a research, and a heavy research and a deep research into the psychological and the physiological benefits of this spiritual movement that defied the odds and was named the star practice out of all the spiritual movements, the Qigong practices, the Tai Chis, the yogas, the New Age modalities in China, for 8 years running, just through word of mouth, it was spreading. And came to realize that the organs were becoming increasingly healthy, and then started a outright campaign of brutal persecution on July 22nd, 1999, to turn public opinion against it, slander it, demonize the practitioners who were practicing it, over 100 million people, and then did the most evil thing: send and start to send hundreds and thousands of Falun Gong practitioners in state mandated hospitals under the careful watch of the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, cutting out their organs while alive, forcefully turning their doctors into murderers, and then selling the organs as the healthiest organs in the world illegally without any consent. So this is why I'm on your show today, to expose this, and I take my hat off to you, sir, for allowing me to be so.
Yeah, that's incredible. I was watching some of those videos of the persecution in China. It's extremely brutal, isn't it? Unbelievable what's happened here. And I do remember this practice, because there's quite a big, strong Chinese community in Australia, of course, and many countries do have strong Chinese communities within them. And I remember this back then, and this Falun Gong practice taking off. What's happening today with the actual practice in China? Is it completely forbidden, or is there a more watered-down version of it that they allow people to practice? Or have we seen the end of the traditional methods that apply to this spiritual exercise and practices?
That's a great question. Well, to answer it is that throughout the 1990s, Falun Gong garnered support from numerous Chinese government agencies as a meditation practice, a mind and body practice, deemed to improve public health and morality. By the peak of the practice, in 1998, the seven highest ranking officials of the Communist Party and their family members, as well as military generals, more than half of upper class of echelon society in China, the CEOs, business people, professors were practicing this particular practice. And unfortunately, on July 22nd, 1999, a massive, massive campaign of suppression was launched. And people ask me all the time, well, what went wrong? If this practice was so good and so powerful and so profound, why on earth did the Chinese communist regime outlaw it? And one basic explanation, Adam, is for the seemingly irrational campaign against Falun Gong is the nature of the Chinese atheist and dictatorial Chinese Communist Party, which fears all groups outside of its control, particularly the ones that subscribe to a different ideology. So from the mid-1990s, some of the party felt that their party was threatened by Falun Gong's popularity. And the full persecution occurred following years of escalating harassment, slander, demonization of it being labeled as a cult. The communist regime basically went so far in 2001 to demonize Falun Gong by setting up Tiananmen Square as almost like a movie set, sending forcing five people and their little girl, a mother and her 12-year-old child, to set themselves on fire and say, and pull all the cameras on them and say, this is what Falun Gong practitioners do. They kill themselves, they cause havoc, they hurt themselves, they're suicidal. And this severely distorted the minds of the Chinese people. And this gave the president, the former president of China, the leader of China, whose name is Jiang Zemin, the go-ahead to outlaw the practice through this outlandish deluge of propaganda against this practice. Just like the Jews were demonized by the Nazis, or the Hutus demonized the Tutsis in Rwanda, or the Armenian genocide, or the Darfur genocide with Christians and Muslims in Darfur in Africa, there was a huge propaganda machine intentionally to demonize Falun Gong, to set the stage for hundreds and thousands of Falun Gong practitioners to be incarcerated in labor camps, detention centers, and re-education centers, and worse yet, be hauled off in cattle cars, sealed cattle cars, under the Chinese watch of the Chinese military, and their organs harvested in these hospitals at a specified date, a kill-to-order rate, basically, just kill-to-order. As the investigators have coined it, a new form of evil, the organs cut out of their bodies and sold as the healthiest organs in the world. And to understand, Adam, just before I finish, to understand how organ harvesting could happen in China, it's crucial to understand that there is no limit to how far the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, will go to wipe out something or someone. I mean, ever since the inception of the Chinese Communist Party into China with Mao Zedong, between 60 and 100 million people have been wiped out, murdered and slaughtered, more than two world wars combined, 5,000 years of Chinese culture, traditional values wiped out, millions of innocent Chinese girls killed under the one-child policy, and now you have this coronavirus that was unleashed into the general public of China, where the Chinese Communist Party are barricading their citizens, killing them on demand. It's shocking what's going on. So this is a new form of evil. This is a reign of terror. And I'm grateful again to be on your show to expose this evil.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said in our correspondence there, my wife is from Chile in South America. So with the Augusto Pinochet, a brutal dictatorship takeover of that country in 1972, I think they only got rid of him in 1989 or around that time. Just horrifying, speaking to some of the Chileans over there and her parents and older people, what they went through and what they saw. Just a brutal dictatorship run on complete fear. And I'm really see the same trademarks with this. And it's fascinating. It's just unbelievable to think that we live in a time where this is happening. You know, it defies belief to me. And what's unbelievable kind of thinking about, like every country around. I know Sydney, I'm in Sydney, Australia, but we have such a big Chinatown area. It's such a huge, hugely popular sort of area. Not a huge place in Sydney, but so popular for tourists and everybody like to go there. They have such a embedded, deep sort of system there. Where if we're looking at something like Chinese herbal medicine, which goes back thousands of years, that they have used. I mean, if anyone is looks after their health or is interested in herbs, I am, or any of these kinds of ways to treat our health and be have a healthier life. Chinese herbal medicine is very popular. A lot of people use that in many different parts of the world. It's unbelievable to think that this is happening in that country. Is there is it really just this sort of practice that they're clamping down on, and or is it does this extend into Chinese herbal medicine and other forms over there in China, or is it just this they're focusing on?
The Chinese Communist Party has tried several times to eradicate all expressions of religion from China, a country traditionally referred to as the land of the divine, where all these beautiful herbs and
That's right.
medicines and ointments have come from, originated from India and China into the West. To this day, Roman Catholics, many Protestants, Tibetan Buddhists, Taoist Christians, and Uyghur Muslims cannot worship freely in China and are in constant risk of detention and torture. Up to 3 million Uyghur Muslims have been are in concentration camps and brutally persecuted, forced to give up their religion and harvested as well for their organs. And however, by 1999, Adam, Falun Gong became a natural target, and the target, as it was the largest out of all the groups and all the religious practices and spiritual movements, and the fastest growing spiritual group in China, with over 100 million practitioners nationwide, according to the Chinese government reports at that time. And what was insane is that when the persecution started in July 1999, the Chinese regime called Falun Gong the biggest threat to national security since Tiananmen Square 10 years ago. And today they are even more terrified than ever. Official Chinese documents, communist documents that we've received over the years of investigation, have stated that the competition against Falun Gong is the principal means of competition for the hearts and minds of the masses. And the once leader of the Chinese Communist Party, Jiang Zemin, his name is, when the persecution began against Falun Gong, he was seeking a way to consolidate his own power and also eliminating the largest movement of thought in recent Chinese history, namely Falun Gong. He wanted to destroy them in 3 months, bankrupt them, destroy them financially, take away their children. It was basically a crackdown, as it's called in German, a Kristallnacht, that happened with the Jews in Nazi Germany, which in one day, any Jew was banned from using public transportation, their bank accounts were frozen, the graduation certificates were frozen, their marriage licenses were frozen, the custody of their children were frozen, everything was prohibited. If you were a Falun Gong practitioner, even today, to this time, you are completely banned. And even worse so, now hauled off to concentration camps and death camps since 1999 and harvested. And when the evidence broke, the Honorable David Kilgour and David Mattis were the two gentlemen out of Canada. David Kilgour was a former Canadian Secretary of State to the Asian Pacific Cabinet of Canadian government. And David Mattis, an international human rights lawyer working out of Winnipeg, these two gentlemen first broke the evidence, confirmed the evidence, and broke the story in 2006 in a press conference. And in their report called the Kilgour Mattis Report, I wish we I did have some sound bites for you, but unfortunately, I don't think we can play them at this moment. But if you read the reports, ladies and gentlemen, on the websites I'll give to you, and I'll post it on the Crash Files website. This will really shock you to think that this is going on in our modern day, that people can stoop so evilly to a level of morality and degeneracy, immorality and degeneracy for money. And this is why they are doing this. The military is in on it, The Chinese government is in on it, the communist regime, the secret police, they're all making money off it. There's only been four countries. You know, people have said, well, this is going on in other countries, there's nothing new. No, there has been nothing like this in history, state-sanctioned, state-endorsed, and state-mandated, ladies and gentlemen, on such a size, scale, and scope as it is going on in China. And a lot of people think Israel's doing something under the Zionists. Yeah, the Zionists have caused a lot of crap over the years. I get that. Like the globalists, the Rockefellers, who backed Mao. I get all that, and that's true. Yet Israel was the first, the Knesset and the Sanhedrin, which is the ancient rabbinic council, the actual Judaist or Jewish councils, who have a heart, basically, outside of the Zionist takeover. And the American government and other they have written laws. Israel wrote a law in 2008 banning organ tourism from their books and defunding any of their citizens from the health insurance policies if they go to China for organs, knowing full well about the Falun Gong. So did Taiwan, so did Spain, and so did Italy. But only four countries. The Americans haven't done it yet, the Canadians haven't done it yet, the New Zealands, the Australians, the South Africans, they haven't done anything yet because they're making so much money from receiving the organs. I mean, on a specified date, you can receive a organ, whereas in the past, a kidney, a liver, a heart, you would have to be on a waiting line for three, four, five, 8 years. Now you can get something within weeks. So they are making a fortune. And unfortunately, people have turned their backs because extinction before a loss of profit.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I guess so. We, according to what you're saying there, a lot of countries around the world, other than a couple of us, are not acting on this. So unbelievable. And what's the big pharmaceutical industry like in China itself? Because you're looking at these kinds of health practices, really substantially increasing people's health and practitioners' health in China. And creating a more sort of harmonious way of living where people, citizens of that country, are happier and healthier. This is sort of something the government should be falling over themselves to encouraging, because there's less burden on the healthcare systems. But it seems wherever we look, there's definitely money and also, most importantly, control in keeping populations sick and scared and downtrodden and unable to act and think for themselves and think critically, you know, and just constantly sort of be treading water and living in this sort of fear state. Obviously, you know, for me, when I look at it, it's pretty in your face that most governments around the world don't want their citizens to be happy, healthy people, because then what do the big pharmaceutical companies do? And where does this fit into play in China itself? What sort of research have you done there with the big pharmaceutical industries? Well, were they involved in this kind of hammering down of this practice?
The big pharma has always been so devilish when it comes to making money and keeping people, as you said, precisely scared and ill. This is not the wellness industry. This is the illness, the illness industry. Because think about it: if they had, they could cure a lot of things, but they keep people drugged up and prolonged on illness so they can make money. Because if you cure something, your money stream runs out. There's no need to make more money. So they have to keep their stream somehow. And the more you prolong people on illnesses, on vaccines, on drugs, the better your money capacity and your profitability will increase. It makes total sense as an entrepreneur to me. And when the forced organ harvesting commenced, the biotech firms, the medical associations, the rich nationalists, rich foreigners around the world, They jumped at this because, I mean, they were, it's all about money. People don't see through money. These big farmers don't see through money. And what was even more scary, because people tell me, well, where are these organs being sold to? Who are buying these organs? What not only are the rich foreigners from Taiwan, from Singapore, from Pakistan, from Korea, the when this organ harvesting commenced, 40% of organ tourism skyrocketed in the United States alone. And what was also very scary is on the website endtransplantabuse.org, there is many great reports, one including the update, which is called The Slaughter from Ethan Gutman, who joined forces with the two gentlemen from Canada, the two investigators, who confirmed the allegations were true in 2006 that between 40,000 and 60,000 Falun Gong practitioners were being killed and harvested for their organs. Now the numbers are about 100,000 or more each year. We do not want to exaggerate this because otherwise people we lose our credibility. Yet 100,000 transplants a year is the number we're going by right now to hold credibility, because this is so hard to believe and this is so shocking and a new form of evil that is commencing and has been commencing. And one of the things that struck me as shocking is that in the report of Ethan Gutman, the update, which you can read free of charge at intransplantabuse.org, there's a section called Demand for Organs and Expanded Recipient Pool. And I'd like to share with you, Adam, that China has 130 million hepatitis B carriers. China also has 40 to 50% of the world's liver cancer patients, in addition to over half the world's new liver cancer patients, about 350,000 cases per year. So for the 8 million end-stage liver patients, including those with liver failure and liver cancer, the most effective treatment is what? Transplantation. So these people, this communist regime, are killing their own citizens on a large scale under the careful watch of the Chinese military in concentration camps, death camps, and state-mandated hospitals, and then cutting out their organs while alive, namely the Falun Gong, and then selling them back to their own citizens who don't know anything about it because they've been so brainwashed by the communist regime and forced into brutal poverty, brutal slavery, and brutal fear. And that, to me, my friend, was the most outrageous, that according to the China's official transplantation website, China has the largest number of people with liver disease of any country. The World Health Organization puts the figure at about 100 million. So Chinese researchers say that nearly 400,000 people die every year from liver cancer in China, making up nearly half of all deaths from liver cancer worldwide. So, and these researchers say that about 300 million people in China suffer one or another from liver disease. So there's a market to sell the fresh organs back to their own citizens who have saved money to get these kind of organs, and they don't realize it's from the Falun Gong. That's what was shocking to me. That's what was shocking to the investigators, where China, the Chinese Communist Party that controls China and the Chinese government and the Chinese civilization, was saying, no, we've banned organ tourism. And when we were doing it on our prisoners of conscience, our murderers, our rapists, our child molesters, our convicted felons. But yet, that's only 10,000 a year. And the numbers do not add up when you do the actual math about it. And what's even more so chilling is that those convicted felons, those 10,000 that the Chinese government claims they harvested, and this was perfectly normal and natural, their organs are very, very bad because they smoke, they drink, they've got hepatitis. So those organs are extremely horrible and in bad condition. Whereas with the Falun Gong or the House Christians or the Uyghur Muslims, or the Tibetan Buddhists, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they're in meditation, they live a more of a healthier lifestyle, just like the vegans or the vegetarians. When they stop eating meat, they live much healthier. And a person who stops drinking, stops smoking, stops doing drugs, their bodies become much more healthy. And that's exactly why the Falun Gong was such a target, because of the healthy system that they were following. With the herbs, with the treatments, you become much more healthier. So Falun Gong was targeted beyond any other group because of this miraculous health that they were receiving from the five exercises, and also the way of life that they were living based on being more truthful and compassionate and tolerant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And really, it's concerning now indeed with this coronavirus outbreak. I'm still trying to get my head around this and work out what could be going on. Interesting that this has come on the back, too, of the big Hong Kong protests that the whole planet saw. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. And again, we had them in South America, we had them in Santiago, we had 1 million people on the streets of Santiago and Chile as well. We're getting this all around the world now, about massive protests over there in Hong Kong, and now we've got this viral outbreak. So my mind's out there on that, on working out what really is going on here. But what's really worrying in some of the footage that I've seen is they're doing this again, what you were saying before there. They seem to be have these camps or prisons. They're taking all these people, they're separating them from the families, because when there's this kind of viral outbreak, anything goes. And when you get these kind of quarantine laws come into play, nobody has any rights anymore. And we, you know, I'm in Australia. I mean, I none of us know what's actually happening inside China. Have you been able to get any kind of grasp of what's going on there? Because they can do whatever they really want to now, and that's what's a real worry about this, because they're taking people into these camps and who might not be infected, who might be completely healthy. Nobody knows, and just so many people were being rounded up. Could we be seeing these people having their organs harvested right now with this outbreak? Because that would create a really good distraction for this communist regime, wouldn't it? We just don't know what's going on in there.
Absolutely. Well, I'm in Hanoi, Vietnam. I could be any time taken out by the secret police. I mean, I'm in communist Vietnam, which is controlled by communist China. We are on the border. I'm about maybe 7 hours away from the Chinese border in the north. I'm in Hanoi. And I can tell you that they have already quarantined 500 million Chinese people. The 82 cities have been quarantined: Beijing, Hubei, Wuhan, Shanghai, and the list goes on. A Chinese billionaire that has been exiled from China, he came out on America's Voice radio show the other day, and he shared his evidence. And I do believe this. This is not propaganda. And this is true report. This is the reports that I'm getting from my sources inside China and around Vietnam. Is that 1.5 million people have been infected, and up to 50,000 have been killed, are dead from the virus, and they cannot contain it. The Italian ship has been quarantined. There's about 100 cases of the coronavirus. It has been spreading throughout the world, and the. Unfortunately, the medical kits that they're now releasing to China, 50 they cannot catch they can only catch about 50 to 70% of the infection rate, because it usually takes two or three years to develop a really good kit in order to track down the 100% of the virus. So, and I don't know if you saw the interview from Francis Boyle, the man who created the Act of Biological Weapon. The Warfare Act to stop all this, these bioweapon labs, on InfoWars, Alex Jones, and on another talk show. He's been pretty much viral nowadays. He said that this has been a bioweapon, and we have no doubt this is a bioweapon. This has been confirmed, and the World Health Organization is in on it. And which is shocking to me, and then we should get back to the organ harvesting, because that's pretty much all I have on the intel. But what is shocking to me is that the very people who have been put into these positions, these high-ranking world leadership positions, the very people who swore to protect humanity are the actual ones that are destroying them, are destroying us. They've Bill Gates, the globalists, George Soros, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Tricoms, they've all been in a plan for years wanting to depopulate the world, to minimize the world's population from 7.8 billion to just under a billion. This is what they want to do, and this is a full-on confirmed bioweapon being unleashed into China. Robert David Steele, who was a clandestine member of the CIA, who actually wrote my bio that I sent to you, I sat down with him at a child trafficking court, because human trafficking, we don't have to get started on child trafficking and Jeffrey Epstein and the human trafficking that's going on around the world. I sat down and did a briefing with the investigators in London, And he was just on the SGT report in the United States talking about this bioweapon. And anyway, it's very, very scary that the Vietnamese government has been, the military in Vietnam, because it is a militarized state, it is a communist state. You're all owned and operated, and there's no private property, there's no free rights, there's no gun rights, there's nothing. Not as bad as China, but just as but on the same scale of control and tyranny. They have been setting up field hospitals, thousands and thousands and thousands of beds, to get ready for a containment, the likes we've never seen before. And I might be quarantined. I know I will be quarantined if I go back to the States as an American citizen. So yeah, the communist regime is covering up. Their economy has collapsed. We all know about that. The communist regime, as a red dragon, as a reign of terror, as we know it, is on the verge of complete collapse. The economic, the social, and political legs have completely collapsed. So it was just a matter of time to have this a bioweapon in order to turn public opinion or to go to war, inevitably to go to war. So this is the research and the intel that I've received.
If this, if what we're dealing with there, just quickly before we return to the organ harvesting, is in fact some type of bioweapon, any ideas as to why this would have been done, and if it at all directly targets that race over there in China?
We do not know specifically why. It could be depopulation. It could be again eugenicists. I know that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation patent the virus, and basically they did a simulation 3 months before this was released into the general public in China. Whether it was accident, whether it was intention, we do not know yet. We're still investigating that, and our sources are investigating that. Yet they did a simulation where they saw and concluded that 65 million people would be killed by this bioweapon and this alternate virus that was altered. The DNA was altered to include HIV and SARS and ramped up on steroids to be unleashed as a bioweapon into the general public. Why it was released? Our sources and our information turn to depopulation. They've always wanted to do this. The globalists want. It's not a secret thing. If you listen to Henry Kissinger, if you listen to George Soros, if you listen to the Rockefeller, if you see the documents of the Bilderberg Group, the high elites, they've all wanted to do this. They've always wanted to depopulate the world, take over the free worlds, and then instill a communist style, tyrannical Chinese communist style system into the free world and dominate it that way. But as each day our reports are coming out more and more, so we'll have to see where this goes. And I hope it can be contained, but it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, it's every morning I get up, it seems to be getting worse in the media. And as I said before, yeah, we don't know what's really going on here. And if quarantine laws are enacted, and we have them in Australia, you lose your rights. So it's we have a ship I was talking about on the last podcast being locked down in Japan, I think, with Australians on board. That's a really frightening scenario, isn't it? Where you have an entire cruise ship where they were supposed to be going on holiday, and they've all been locked down in there, and not told anything, and that's really brutal for those people. And we're having we've had planes being locked down in Melbourne, I think, trying to fly out because someone had flu-like symptoms. So we're getting a lot of paranoia and a lot of this going on, a lot of fear. So the time will tell and see what happens here. But it's such an incredible and complex issue, China, isn't it? There's a lot of distaste and a lot of anger in Australia with this communist regime and our Australian government, with their land ownership of Australia, you know, our food, our air, our water, kind of all of this sort of stuff. There's a lot of us in Australia that are upset about so much of this massive land grab in our country and Australia by the Chinese government as well. Huge tracts of land, dairies, livestock for meat, all of this stuff. They're just grabbing, and our government seem to be selling out and saying that everything's okay. So there's a lot of, but it's not the Chinese people, it's this regime. So there's so much confusion, isn't there, with and around China. It really does my head in. What's the idea? What idea do you have, if we were to take a step back and sort of look at the Chinese people themselves? Because I just mentioned Hong Kong before, which seems like a bit more of a area where people would be free to protest, but we saw a lot of police brutality there to just squash those protests. To me, there seems to be unhappiness here with the Chinese people, and there's a lot of people in China. What ideas are you getting with the mindset of the Chinese people, and how unhappy they may be with this kind of regime in control? Or do you see that, like, there's just so many Chinese people who have just fallen into line and just doing what they're told through fear of being persecuted by the government? Because that's a scary thing, to live in a country where if you say anything about the government or go your own way, they can come down on you or arrest you or come and get you in the night out of your home. It's kind of a really scary situation that's going on in that country, and I feel like you've got a lot of people that are unhappy, but they're just falling into line and they're living their lives unhappy because they don't want to buck the system in fear of being targeted.
Precisely, precisely, especially because when you grow up in a country, I'm living in Vietnam as a Westerner, and I see this the fear. You see, when you are living in communism, it's an evil specter of control. It is the worst reign of terror that a person can live in.
Terrible.
And you're born into it. You're born to submit your soul. They rip out your, the communist specter rips out your soul. It's an imposter. It never was in China before. 5,000 years of traditional Chinese divine culture, morals, spiritual harmony, all the great herbs, the medicines, as you were talking about, Adam, came from China and India. But when the communist specter came into power here under Mao Zedong, and throughout the history, it has wiped out over 100 million people. Now, people who believe in communism are absolute fools. I mean, absolute clowns. Because communism, cultural Marxism, this is just an evil specter, a demonic specter, a reign of terror. And there's a saying that many empires and many regimes killed in order to conquer. The Chinese Communist Party conquered in order to kill. Their history of killing, intentional murderous campaign of killing, is the worst in the world. Espionage, nepotism, bribery, deception, hatred, violence, their suppression of human rights, their killing of millions and millions of babies, millions of women. It's shocking. And you're talking about Hong Kong. It's an invasion of the Communist Party into Hong Kong. And thank God for the Hong Kong students and the Hong Kong people who know full well about this reign of terror and have stood against it with all measures of their blood, sweat, and tears to stop this. I mean, you've got students barricading themselves in universities trying to stop these so-called policemen. They are actually militarized from China. There was an influx of the Chinese military dressed in disguise as Hong Kong police, brutally beating the Hong Kong citizens. These are not just normal Hong Kong people. They are actual Chinese communist thugs and militarized spies from China dressed and disguised in Hong Kong wear, just like they did with Tibet, disguising themselves as monks, disguising themselves as Tibetans, but yet beating the Tibetans into a pulp to take over Tibet. It's the same strategy. There's a really good publication called The Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party. It can be downloaded again for free or watched on YouTube. It's called nine, www, the number nine, but spelled out, NINE, commentaries.com, www.ninecommentaries.com. It is an insight, it is the insight into the reign of terror and deeply exposes how evil communism is, and the Communist Manifesto from Karl Marx totally dissects it, shows how evil it is. And this has actually woken up the Chinese people. No Chinese person to this day likes the Chinese Communist Party. They've lost control of the Communist Party, and that's why they have been digging deep, so deep into it. For example, when Trump and did the trade war, the trade deal with China, China had to bow to Trump's plan because they have no way out. The economy has collapsed. This bioweapon now has completely devastated the economy for no return. There's no return from this. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But yes, the Chinese people are waking up. There is a movement called Tui Dung, which is the quit the movement of the Communist Party, where 351 million people basically have awoken after reading the nine commentaries of the Communist Party, which I implore your avid readers and your listeners to read or to watch on YouTube freely. And once reading this, you'll see how evil communism is and why the Chinese regime is on the verge of collapse, because the Chinese people do not want this anymore. And I know from the Vietnamese people, especially the younger generation, they love the Western ideals. They love the freedom. The one thing that the Viet Cong, which is basically the Vietnamese Communist Party, did not do, they made a big mistake. They did not censor the internet like they did in China. The Vietnamese people have seen and taken a glimpse into our Western lifestyle, our freedoms, the way we can have our freedom of speech, the way we can protect ourselves with our gun rights in America, where we can speak freely, we can talk against the government without being hauled off in the middle of the night. So this is what they want. And the communist regime tried to take over the land rights of Vietnam, because there have been wars, there has been invasion of China into Vietnam. And you see so many people, there were big protests here in Hong Kong, in Hanoi recently, to protest the Chinese communist regime. So no one likes the communist regime, but the specter is running rampant right now to just destroy everything and control everything. But it will not last. It will not last.
Yeah, it's incredible, this darkness, this evil behind the mask of time, you know, that ghosts us through our entire lives. It's always been there, stamping our goodness, stamping out natural law, cutting off our connection with nature itself, you know, cutting off anything that's good and wholesome and honest and true and organic in this world. It's always there, and it makes out like it's our friends all of the time. It turns us against one another, it pits us against each other, so we keep infighting and fighting one another, and it always wins. It's unbelievable, this system of control, this thing behind our lives that we just can't seem to get rid of and just get it off this planet. It's unbelievable. And I look at the persecution of so many native peoples around the world, the Australian Aboriginals, you know, the Chinese, as you said, you know, the American Indians in South America, in the rainforest there, in the Amazon, in Ecuador, in Peru, in all these countries, all these medicine men, these cultures with this incredible knowledge and skills. They know every single leaf, every single bark, tincture, plant, medicine in these forests. They have so much knowledge, and this system has always sought to control them and push them away and block us from getting or gaining any knowledge from it or learning from it. And it's really unbelievable. And I just hope that you know, the people around the world and in China, they're just absolutely sick and tired of this, and they want to take their countries back and end this rule. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And you mentioned Tibet there before. That was an incredible thing for all of us in the world to watch, you know, and it wasn't that long ago. They've been doing it for a long time, I know, way back. China have been interfering in Tibet. Mitchell, this is an incredibly beautiful, unbelievably incredible culture up there in Tibet, in those mountains. I mean, this is... This is an unbel I've never been there myself, but it's just a phenomenal looking place, and the knowledge and the true spirit of these people is unbelievable, and the brutality that this communist regime showed against these people and splitting them up the way that they did. Any more ideas yourself on what's happening in modern Tibet? For me, I just don't think that it ever looked the same again. I'm wondering what's happening with those people, and it seems like this, as you said, this communist regime in China, how much more can they take before people start taking back, you know? I mean, it's just such a massive landmass over there. And as you said, that's good to hear that people have this distaste in their hearts and in their souls, in their minds, that they've absolutely fed up with this. And it's good to hear that after all this is said and done, what's happening there now, this country, this regime might never be the same again. We could be seeing the cracks happening right now, where we could see this regime tumble. And that's going to be incredibly interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that poor Tibet, it's shocking also. The Tibetans have also been harvested for their organs.
These poor people, man.
Yeah, complete crackdown, complete suppression on Tibet. Yes, and the Uyghur Muslims. And you see, and why hasn't the world heard more? And why hasn't the world done more? And I just want to share with you, I'll read something with you from the Nine Commentaries, if I may, why we haven't heard enough on the mainstream media or the business leaders of the world or the governing bodies of the world. The reason is money. Like I said to you, extinction of life before loss of profits, human prosperity before human human atrocity before human prosperity. They want to keep their prosperity. Like I said, that's what I mean. So basically, I just want to share with you, using economic interests to pressure Western countries, and this is taken out of the Nine Commentaries for many people who would like to read about it. Many people believe that trade with China will promote human rights, freedom of speech, and democratic reform in China. After more than a decade, it is clear that this assumption is only wishful thinking. A comparison of the principles for doing business in China and the West provides a common example. The fairness and transparency of Western societies are replaced by nepotism, bribery, and embezzlement in China. And we have it huge in Vietnam as well. The corruption is insane. Many Western corporations have been becoming leading culprits by further exacerbating China's corruption. Some companies even help the Chinese Communist Party hide its human rights violations and persecution of its own people. The Chinese Communist Party behaves like the mafia by playing the economic card in foreign diplomacy. So whether Chinese aircraft manufacturing contract is given to France or the United States or Australia depends on which country keeps quiet on the Chinese Communist Party's human rights issues. Many Western business people and politicians are driven and controlled by economic profits from China. Some information technology companies from North America, like Google. I mean, Google is in bed with the communist regime with its social credit score. Cisco Systems was caught as well, supplying specialized products to the communist regime for blocking the internet and pinpointing where Falun Gong practitioners and others were trying to upload the information, similar to what was going on in Iran when the Ayatollah was trying to crack down on dissidents trying to upload the information to the world to show what these tyrannical regimes were doing. So in order to gain entry to the Chinese market, just like Skype actually as well, that's why I'm on a VPN, because I don't want the Vietnamese secret police to bash down my door knowing that I'm talking to you like this and I get killed and you never hear from me again, which can happen and probably bound to happen from where the rate I'm going. Some internet websites have agreed to censor themselves and filter out information disliked by the Chinese regime. And, you know, Adam and everybody, in 2004, I mean, we're in 2020, but just to let you know, according to the data of China's Ministry of Commerce, the total number of foreign investment into various contracts into the Chinese regime and into the Chinese market has been up to $990 billion. And the Chinese regime, and this was in 2004, everybody, this is in 2004, folks. So our estimates of 20 years of investigation, one quarter of China's gross domestic profit That's up to nearly $4 trillion has been used to eradicate Falun Gong from the shores of China. And before I forget, Adam, just to bring our attention back to Falun Gong and the forced organ harvesting, this is going to shock you, but this is true. Very similar to what happened with the Nazis and the Jews. The Nazis under Hitler set up a Gestapo-type SS agency, right? Which was set on top of the pyramid in terms of controlling the economic, political, and social realms of Nazi Germany, to root out Jews and gypsies and disabled and homosexuals and anyone that was against the pure Aryan race of the Nazis, right? The same has been done with the Communist Party on June 10th, 1999, 1 month before the complete persecution began against Falun Gong. The 610 office, which was created by the leader and the military dictator of the communist regime, Deng Xiaoping, and his gang of scoundrels and cohorts, created the 610 office, a Gestapo-type agency that sat on top of the government system, which is the party system, the Communist Party system, controlling all governmental agencies, all local agencies, from the state level to the local level to the federal level, political, economic, and social spectrums, all with one mandate and one mandate only: to root out and eliminate Falun Gong from the shores of China and kill them for their organs. Now think about that. And it is still sitting on the top of the government system, controlling all aspects of China. No other policy, all policy implementations, all mandates, all decision making is through this office, just like in Nazi Germany to this day in China. So, and this is true, the 610 office, like the Gestapo office in China. So this is what we're dealing with, folks. This is what I've been dealing with.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you look at what happened to Nazi Germany or the German people as well, shortly after World War II, they were exterminated. Germany was just absolutely exterminated and firebombed, So we have a system behind all of this, as I said, that destroys anything and everyone and pits us against each other, race, religion, and cause, and just keeps us infighting and distracted our entire lives, so we never look at really what's going on behind the mirror. And it's very disturbing, and it's time that people start to wake up here and see the system for what it really is. What we're dealing with, I really don't know. People, as you said, people call it the Bilderbergers, they call it Henry Kissingers, they call it the globalists, they have a lot of names for it, but in reality we don't know what kind of system we're dealing with here. But it's incredibly dark and it's incredibly evil, and it's been there with us right throughout time, and it's absolutely unbelievable and incredible what's going on. Yeah, man, I understand. It's just it's unbelievable. Where are you going now with this work that you're doing? How can people, we've got a few minutes left before we wrap up. I'll put all the links up, of course, and how people can sign petitions and help. But what's going on now? Where do you go from here? What's happening in modern China now after this coronavirus? I mean, it's just chaos over there. Chaotic scenes we're seeing, and with this medical sort of genocide taking place, this is an incredibly disturbing thing going on, man. I have to say, I can't even comprehend how horrifying this is for people who get taken and have their organs harvested. I mean, it's almost worse than being buried alive. It's just a terrible situation. I can't even imagine living in a country like that where people get taken, have their organs harvested like that when they're alive. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Where do we go from here? How do people help? What do we do?
Okay, well, what I would recommend is to learn the Falun Gong exercises. They are beautiful, and they will help you in the coming months if it does spread. These exercises will definitely protect you. We've had many testimonials from China, people practicing who are being unaffected by this coronavirus. It's quite profound. I was just reading some testimonials recently. So you can go to the website falundafa.org, and there are free exercises. There are five of them. You can learn them wherever you are, especially in the States or in Australia. Just go to the contact list and you'll see where you are in the world, and go to the practice site. Go try out the exercises. If you're, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful practice. The books are all online by Mr. Lee Hongzhi. But just, you know, it's nothing cultish. It's nothing religious. It, you know, any person can practice it, whether you have a very a busy schedule, whether you are a vice president of a multinational corporation or a stay-at-home mom with five children, or just, you know, any a young person, a child, whatever it is. Whoever you are, you can practice these beautiful exercises. That's one thing I would recommend. Number two, to sign a petition. I know some people are like, "Ah, what are you talking about, Mitch? That's not going to work. We should bomb the hell out of China." Well, it's like signing a will or signing the power of attorney. It's very important. That's a life decision, which is extremely important. It's a life or death decision when you sign a will or sign a power of attorney or even sign a mortgage. You know, that can damage or make or break you for life. Same as signing a petition. I always believe that the pen is more almighty than the sword. And what I love about the courageousness of the Tibetans or the Native Americans, as you pointed out, Adam, or the Falun Gong, there's never been a violent resistance. There's never been a terroristic act towards the government that are persecuting them. There's always been a truthfulness and compassion and tolerant demeanor and a perseverance of faith that they will triumph over this evil. This is what I love about this peaceful practice. And as a warrior, I like to fight. I like to, you know, if someone's going to hurt and harm innocent people, I'm going to give my life to protect them. That's the kind of guy I am. Even though I am a peaceful warrior, I am a warrior. You know, this is who I am. But yet with Falun Gong, it's made me more peaceful. It's made me more relaxed. Anyway, you can sign a petition at StopOrganHarvesting.org, and you can read the reports by David Kilgore, David Mattis, and Ethan Gutman in their reports called Kilgore Mattis Report. This can be easily Googled, KILGOUR dash Mattis, MATAS report. You can also see the report on endtransplantabuse.org and Ethan Gutman's book called The Slaughter. You can buy that on Amazon or Kindle for very little. And I think that will be good. Also, another website is called falluninfo.net, FALUNINFO.net. And also, one more, just to let you know about, to keep up with the coronavirus updates, the Epoch Times out of New York City is a wonderful editorial source. It's the largest independent newspaper in the world, out of New York City. It was the largest Chinese newspaper out of China, translated into English and other versions. And you can just Google it, the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H. Times, the Epoch Times, and I think they will be it. And I do believe, Adam, that to fail to support the good and to fail to expose evil is unacceptable. And a man like you, and trust me, I've been around, man, and I've seen a lot of things. And I'm in Vietnam right now, and I can be killed for this information. You know what I'm saying? That's why I put my life on the line every day. And for you to bring me on your show to talk to your audience, who can feel my sincerity. Many mainstream media outlets will never dare because they haven't got the heart, they haven't got the balls, and they haven't got the soul like you have. And I just want to take my hat off and thank you so much for bringing me on the show and allowing me to share the information and share about the persecution and the truth, and for you to have me as a voice of support and for you to support this. God bless you, brother, and thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Was good to hear, and I'll put all those links up as well with the podcast, and show people this medical genocide that's happening, and this, as you said on your website, hidden mass murder in China that's going on. That is very deeply disturbing, folks. It really is. It's unbelievable, and it's not just you, Mitchell. I've just in our talk now and yesterday and through the week, I've been looking up dozens and dozens of sites, you know, looking at at this material that's coming out in the Falun Gong and this practice and how it's being persecuted and how severely it's been persecuted as well, and what's happening to these poor people. I mean, this is just absolutely dreadful and ridiculous. It's just nonsense. It's insane that we're seeing this in this day and age. I just can't believe it, and I hope something better is coming for the Chinese people, and I hope there's a better life for them and a better system so people can help stop forced organ harvesting in China on that website, as you mentioned. So I'll put those links up. And I also liked what you mentioned there about people practicing this this Falun Gong. It's that's interesting. We could, in the West in particular, you know, and many countries in the world, they could make this very popular and start practicing it everywhere. And then Chinese people around the world living in many countries, just as they are anyway, they just keep practicing it, and we just grow it until they see how many people are doing it. So that's very interesting, getting people not to stop this, but continue it and take it on and breathe it into your life, because it all is about breathing and slowing down. And that's my idea on this, these kinds of practices, just slowing down, centering yourself, becoming one again, you know, and breathing and just slowing everything down. We're moving way too fast, Mitchell, and we've just got too much going on in our minds, and it's just unhealthy. We're living in a very unhealthy time, and we need to take a big, big step back and breathe again, look up at the stars, rediscover who we really are, and start asking deeper questions, and rediscovering who we are much more deeply than what we are. We're not just about going to work every day and falling into a hole in the ground. We're more than this, and we are very special human beings. We really are, and we've forgotten how special we are, and we've forgotten who we really need to be and what we need to be doing. So I think that these kinds of practices really, really have such an important display in our modern lives, especially as cities get bigger and our lives get more and more, you know, hectic, and we have families. We can find that time to center and relax and calm down and take a step back and breathe and do these kinds of exercises and show the world that this is a great thing to do, and make it fun again. And so hopefully we can force some change here through your work, man. So it's a really great to speak with you tonight, and we'll chat again soon and connect again soon about we can talk about whatever is important to you and what you're seeing on the ground there. You're in the belly of the beast for sure, so very brave work. And anything you want to say before we plug out?
You know, in life, you have to do, before you leave this earth, you want to be able to do something. You know, what is a man who cannot make the world a better place? And I think, yes, please, everybody, if you'd like to learn the exercises, which will definitely protect you from this horrible virus that we're facing in a pandemic, learn the exercises, practice the exercises. They're beautiful, and they're only there to help you, and it's free of charge, which is beautiful, at www.falundafa.org. That's the other name, Falun Dafa or Falun Gong. It's the same practice, but check out the exercises. And Adam, it's been a pleasure and an honor.
That's right, man. And I'll also put up your link before we go as well. I'll put up your link that you sent me about the death threats that you received. I think folks will find that very interesting as a student. I'll put that link up for folks to read. That's pretty scary, man. But because of what you were saying on the campuses there in America about this, what's going on, that's full on. They're taking notice of you for sure.
and that's why I pat myself on the back. I know it's happening.
So absolutely.
I make a dent. I'm rattling their cages, rattling their feathers, which is great.
You
great
definitely work. Are. Well, for that to happen, yeah, I think they're just spooks, man. They're just spooks, and they just try and scare people away from the work that they're doing. But you copped it, so they definitely know about you. So you, amazing work. Good luck, and keep me informed on everything that's happening and posted. Let's hope that we start to see some positive change, huh?
Will do. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, everybody, and God bless, and take care.
Thanks, buddy.